I'm happy to get up here this morning because I have a message the Lord told me to share this morning, and I appreciate the prophecy that the word, the exhortation that Yvonne gave, because it went right along with this. So praise God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says this: What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now notice how Paul asked that question. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple, the sanctuary, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit that you've been given by the Lord, by the way. And you do not belong to yourself. Don't you know that, Corinthians? For you have been purchased with a price. By what? The precious blood of Jesus. There's no more precious thing in the universe. Therefore, give glory to God in your body. And notice in your spirit. Give glory to God in your body and in your spirit, that is in your heart. For both your body and your spirit belong to Him. Praise God. And I went off on a side trail in my mind there. The precious blood of Jesus. People say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worth much. Well, if you're not worth much, why did it take such a price to purchase you? He wouldn't spend that kind of value on something that was worth nothing. That's something to chew on later. Not part of the message, but praise God. For you have been purchased with a price. Now, those are powerful verses. He's talking about the individual's body. My body, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord showed me something along this line just recently that helped me. I believe it'll help you too if you receive it. And I want to share it with you today. And it's a very simple but powerful truth. You know, no matter how much we think we know, the Lord can always show us some simple thing. It'll just blow us away. You know, just totally change the way we think about things. Oh, but I've read all these books and I know all this and I've read the Bible from cover to cover. Well, you know, He can still show you something. You know, we don't know it all yet. In fact, it's going to take the ages to come to reveal things to us. Now, as you recall, I've been teaching on the book of 1 Samuel on the subject of the Tabernacle of David. And which has to do, among other things, with what we call Davidic worship. The type of worship that we worship in the New Testament with. Now, that includes all the various forms of praise and worship that we find in the book of Psalms. You know, lifting holy hands, shouting to the Lord, making a joyful noise, coming before His presence with singing. Singing a new song to the Lord, clapping our hands. All of that is found in the Psalms. And the Psalms were written in the Tabernacle of David. David's temple of, or tabernacle, tent of worship. You know, and I found as I study these things, it seems like the Lord shows me, oddly enough, stuff about worship. I can't figure out why. Because we're studying it. We're looking at it. Things that seem to dawn on me that I didn't recognize before. Simple things. One of those things that dawned on my lightning-fast brain back around the end of the year, in December, was the fact that being filled with the Spirit has to do with singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Wow, who knew? Who knew that? Well, it shouldn't have surprised me because it actually is very clearly brought out in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we taught a message on this around New Year's Eve, December 31st. The messages are on the website if you want to go listen to it. It was called Be Being Filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." How? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Really? That's how you get filled with the Spirit? Praise God. sometimes the Bible, things that are plain in the Bible aren't plain to us. They don't register for some reason. When they do finally dawn on us, it's like we got a great new revelation. Well, no, that's been there the whole time in the Bible. It's not a new revelation. You've heard that scripture 100 times. Sometimes they don't register. It seemed like we get a great revelation suddenly. And so I taught that message, and it's on our website, December 31st of last year, how to be being filled with the Spirit. And that's how to be filled with the Spirit of God, by singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. But brother, what about prayer and fasting? Amen. Praise God. What about meditating in the Word of God? What about waiting on the Lord? What about praying in tongues for hours at a time? Praise God. All of those are good things. And we ought to do all that stuff. But those things are not specifically mentioned in the Bible as the way to be filled with the Spirit. I hope that doesn't shock you too much, because I spent years doing all those things and benefited from it. But I needed a revelation about singing, making melody in our hearts. And so we ought to do those things. But singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord, that's the way the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit. I'm saying that over and over, so eventually it'll register. That's how we get anointed by the Spirit of God. Oh, he's going off the deep end now. Praise God. That's the way we get anointed by the Spirit of God. Singing, making melody in our heart. Be filled with the Spirit. So naturally, and I'm talking now as somebody who has been a worship leader since way back in the 80s. The Lord called me to be that, because I was a musician. I played rock music for a long time. I finally got saved. Didn't know anything about praise and worship. But after 3 or 4 or 5 years, people started coming through, prophets, and saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the Lord has called thee to lead a something here in this place." And I was thinking, well, you probably got, they missed that one. They missed that one. Because John Heiss was up at Elam teaching. And I told Pastor David, I said, "You need to call John Heiss and get him back down here. That word was for him." Praise God. Because it took a while for that to sink into me, that the Lord was calling me to do that. But anyway, as a worship leader, I would tend to utilize this truth about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord to be filled with the Spirit. I mean, every single day, but especially when I'm going to get up and lead worship. You know, my wife will tell you, when I'm going to lead worship on Sunday, I'll spend practically the whole day on Saturday singing and playing guitar, singing, playing, you know, singing to the Lord. I'll do that because I know it causes me to be filled with the Spirit. Just a practical thing. I mean, will I have the Spirit if I don't do that? Well, of course, but it just won't be quite the same. Praise God. That's the way the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit. And so I'll do that. And you might say, well, I'm not a worship leader. Why do I need to do that? Why do I need to sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord? Well, you might not be a worship leader, but you're a believer. And every believer is called to do something. And whatever you're called to do, you'll do it better filled with the Spirit. It doesn't matter what it is you're called to do. It says that the people like Stephen and Philip, you remember the book of Acts? It says they were full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And it says they did mighty works among the people. Were they just special ones called to do mighty works among the people? No. But they were people who had learned how to stay filled with the Spirit. And then when they contacted the world, things happened. God would prompt them, pray for a person, boom, it would happen. So, well, you might say, well, brother, I have the Holy Spirit in me. I received the Holy Spirit years ago when I got saved. I've been filled with the Spirit. I can speak with other tongues. Praise God. Well, congratulations. It tells me you've made some progress in the Lord if you've done all those things. You know, but brace yourself. Having the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit are not the same thing. How many know that? Raise your hand if you know it. All the rest of you say, oh, me. I mean, amen. Praise God. You see, we always have the Spirit. How many have the Spirit of God? Anybody in here? Praise God. We always have the Spirit, but we're not always filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is a place we come to after doing something. Here's an example. We all come in here on Sunday morning, and all of us have the Spirit when we come in. But after we sing to the Lord for a while, like we did this morning, it begins to get sweet. Something begins to happen. We begin to adore the Lord. God, we love you so much. See, there's something in us at that point that didn't seem to be there before. Suddenly, Jesus is just so wonderful. My God, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. See? And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's something about the Holy Spirit pouring out the love of God in our heart when we come near His presence. We'll get to that at a later point. I didn't want to blow it now. But anyway, suddenly we love and adore the Lord. And His presence comes in the room and it overshadows everything. What is it, the old song? Troubles vanish, hearts are mended. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Jehovah, what's the name of that song? In the presence of Jehovah. Some will begin to hear things that the Lord says. And I'm pretty sure everybody recognizes the difference. We always have the Spirit, but we're not always filled with the Spirit. When we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, we begin to be filled with the Spirit that's already in us. Don't ask me to explain that one. You know, the Bible says that when the leaders of the church at Antioch ministered to the Lord, they fasted and they ministered to the Lord, said the Holy Ghost spoke, said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called them to." See, the Holy Ghost hadn't spoken before they ministered to the Lord. But see, they got filled with the Spirit and He spoke. The Holy Spirit is the prophetic anointing, by the way. And He's called a lot of things, the presence of God, the beauty of the Lord, the glory of God. All these things are referring to the Holy Spirit, but He is the prophetic anointing. He will show us things to come. Now, there is a scripture in addition to the one we opened with that is very similar, and it says, it seems to be saying that we as the church, we plural, are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so, which is it? Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, or the church is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Right, brother, both. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so don't get confused and go out to lunch before we leave. So, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. This seems to be referring to the overall body of Christ, plural, as being the temple of the Holy Ghost, as opposed to the individual believer. And the Bible agrees with this position. First, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom," or in Christ, "all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So the church is actually a holy temple made up of lively stones, which each of us are. We are all each a lively stone, Peter calls us. That lively stone is lively because the Spirit of God's in there. That's where we get our life. And so both positions are true. The church as a whole is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we as individuals. So I'm only saying that in case people want to argue about that, you know. Not that it's a major point here, but now, the basis of the message I'm going to share with you today. See, I'm interrupting this thing of 1 Samuel and the Tabernacle of David, which is a long message. I wanted to keep on it, but the Lord put this in my heart a couple of weeks ago. And so I said, well, we'll just interrupt this. If the Lord's going to show us something, praise God. So the basis of this message came about on the weekend of the women's retreat several weekends ago. They went over to Smith Mountain and had a women's gathering. And it was Saturday of the weekend, and I was preparing to lead worship the next day on Sunday. And so I had put together a song list, which worship leaders do. And I was spending some time getting myself in the Spirit, so to speak, or filled with the Spirit. You know, again, we all tend to drift away from our awareness of His presence. It's a natural thing. It happens to everybody. And we just do that. We get focused on natural things during our daily routine of living. It's like the old song, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." One verse says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." You see, we all tend to drift away. That song's hundreds of years old, praise God. So I was busy singing songs, endeavoring to get myself in the Spirit. Jenny is still at the women's retreat. They hadn't come home yet. But on this particular day, for some reason or another, I was having some difficulty. I wasn't quite making the connection with the Lord that I wanted to. You see, we know when we're in the Spirit. We know when we're not. If we're, you know, if we're kind of paying attention, we know. So I just wasn't making the connection. Now, I have a certain number of recordings of songs that I listen to when I'm trying to get myself ready, prepared to lead worship. And that always seems to work for me. And I was doing that, but I wasn't getting there. You know, just to put it bluntly, I wasn't getting there for some reason. And so I put all that aside for a while. It was Saturday morning. And I just put it all aside and said, well, I need to run over to the food line, pick up a few things. We usually go to the store on Saturday. So Jenny's not here, but I'll still go over and pick up a few things, get that done. And so now on the way over to the food line, I prayed a simple prayer. I said, Lord, would you please help me make the connection in the Spirit? I'm having some difficulty getting there. Please forgive me, Lord, for getting too busy and neglecting to spend time with you as I should. You know, I'm thinking maybe that's the reason. I'm just out of it and I've, you know, the Lord's playing hide and seek. Seek the Lord while he may be found. In other words, okay, Lord, I'm seeking. And so in Jesus' name, I prayed that prayer. And then I arrived at the store and I began to shop. And before I got there, I had been singing that song. An older song. It's from a song called All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Living One, something like that. And the chorus is, forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow my knee and worship you alone. Just a little simple four-line chorus. And I was singing that song on the way over, and so when I got in the store, I just kept singing the song kind of under my breath, just while I was putting things in my shopping basket. I mean, you wouldn't have heard it. I mean, I was just quiet enough. Unless you got real close to me, you wouldn't hear me doing that. And just sort of under my breath. And I went ahead and sang that while I was going. Even though they got overhead music playing, I've just shut that out and ignored it. I'm singing this song. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. Oh, I was singing that and it was starting to get sweet, you know, and nice. And I'm singing it and not paying attention to the fact that I'm singing it. Okay? See, I was putting some songs of praise in. I sing praises to your name. Just sweet, worshipful songs. Came right out of that. And so, now, what are we doing when we do this? I heard a message I was telling you about earlier, and somebody mentioned something about this, and I remember what he said. We're loving Jesus. When we fill our hearts with songs of worship, oh, this is good. We're setting our affection upon Him. We're setting our attention upon Him. We're singing praises to Him in our heart. That's right. Remember, what's the temple of the Holy Ghost? Our heart. Praise God. And Psalm 145 says this in verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that do what? Love Him. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him. But all the wicked will He destroy. You know, the Bible tells us that God has chosen the foolish things of this world. It's all in 1 Corinthians there. To confound the wise. Praise God. One of those things is the foolishness of preaching to get people saved, to save the lost. He's chosen the foolishness of preaching to get that done. And there's another thing that appears foolish to the world, and that's worship. We're singing songs to the Lord and we get all emotional about it. That's emotionalism. That's foolishness, according to the world. Oh, it's just emotionalism, brother. Don't fool around. They're just having emotionalism go on. But it happens to be the way the Lord has chosen to make his connection with his people. Come before my presence with singing. Praise God. Through worship, we encounter his presence. Whether worshiping as a group, when we come together on Sunday, or worshiping as an individual. It works for the individual as much as it works for the group. The only problem is we don't really seem to focus on that very much until we come in on Sunday morning. Suddenly we sing three or four songs to the Lord and praise God. We're in his presence. Glory. But see, that works as an individual also. Now, I heard a fellow sharing a message that talked about how to fall in love with Jesus. And what's the guy's name? Eric Gilmore. Y'all familiar with him? I don't know. Anyway, he was one of the guys that came out of Brownsville down there years ago. And he was sharing a message. And I can't remember. He either had a vision or had a dream, one or the other. And in this dream or vision, whichever it was, he was walking through a wooded area, walking through the woods. I don't ever go walking in the woods. There's so much stuff out there these days, I don't go near them. But anyway, I mean, coyotes and bears and wolves and everything else. But anyway, he said he was walking through the woods and he heard a rustling over to the side here. Yeah, but he turned and looked and he saw the Lord. The Lord was standing there. And he said that when he made eye contact, the Lord just smiled with a big grin. Just looked at him. And he knew that the Lord was glad that he had set his attention in that direction. Praise God. See, that's what we do when we spend time in personal worship in our heart. You don't have to be playing an instrument. We all know songs. We all know worship songs. That's what we're doing. We're looking in his direction. Is it any wonder that we make a connection with him when we do that? Shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. And I had the thought, you cannot sing songs of worship to the Lord without setting your attention on him. We go through life a lot of times and never set our attention on the Lord. Then we come in on Sunday, oh Lord, we love you, we love you. Please come close to us. And so by the time I got back to the car, I'm still in the grocery store singing, "Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow my knee and worship you alone." Now let's grab this right. I need some of that. Okay. "Forever you will be." See, I'm doing this in my heart, under my breath. And we know when we made the connection. When I got back to the car, I said, man, I'm in the spirit now. Because the songs become sweet and beautiful and rich, full of life. There's something in them that wasn't there before. Because I made that connection, the Holy Spirit is anointing what I'm doing now. Praise God. Hallelujah. And just a side thought, we should be recognizing by now that we have full control over how much we are filled with the Spirit. Selah. Stop and think about that for a second. We have full control over how much we're filled with the Spirit. It's not an arbitrary thing. Like Rick Joyner said years ago, we're all as close to the Lord as we want to be. Praise God. Well, I didn't need to slap you with that, but anyway. Anyway, that day when I was back in the car there from Food Line, I had the thought about the scripture about being filled with the Spirit by singing in our heart to the Lord. And then I thought, you know, we sing a lot and we talk about God filling this place, this physical sanctuary. God, come, see, what's the song goes? Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere, Lord. Come flood this place. Come, Holy Spirit. And that's a great song. I mean, we sang it a couple of weeks ago. It was tremendously anointed. Anytime you say, come, Holy Spirit, something's going to happen. Anytime you say, we love you, Jesus, something's going to happen. That's just something about that. I saw Judson Cornwall years ago, way back in the 80s, and went to a place up there in Virginia and saw him. And he said there's something about the expression, worthy is the Lamb. There are some things that just have power in them. And that expression, worthy is the Lamb, some of the things in Revelation. Anyway, not to get sidetracked here. So we sing, come flood this place, and the Lord does do that. We've all been in meetings where you walked in the room and it was like the air was thick with His presence. Actually weighty, you can feel the weightiness of it. Glory to God, the presence of the Lord's here. And the presence of the Lord is there. It's tangible. And it's wonderful, but the thought occurred to me that the sanctuary is not out here in this room. Oh yes, we're sitting in a room, we're standing in a room, whatever the case may be. But that's not His dwelling place. The real sanctuary is right down here in our heart. We carry the sanctuary around with it. We bring the sanctuary in when we come on Sunday morning. All right. Some of you looking at me like the old proverbial dog at a barn. What is it? Cow at a new gate? Deer at the headlights? No. You know, sometimes people talk about how holy the sanctuary is. I remember a particular individual, don't take any coffee in there. It's holy. It's holy in there. The physical room, and there is a holiness to the physical room. I mean, because God's presence does come and touch it. It's holy. But the truth is that we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. When we come to church, we bring the sanctuary with us. Now, the physical room has a certain holiness, but every believer is far more holy than any physical building we meet in. What's holy is you, the one who walks in the room with the Holy Ghost in you. Praise God. You're the Holy One. The Holy Ones He's made us to be. Because He's in us, He's holy, so we're holy. Praise God. And Then the outward temple, this physical room, begins to be filled with His presence. We sense His presence in the room, but we're sensing the presence that's coming out of everybody in the room, really. But it all starts right here in the temple of the heart. This revelation had become very real to me, that know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that? Paul was saying. Praise God. And so the next day, Sunday morning came, and it was time to go to church. And as I mentioned, I was scheduled to lead worship that day. Where was Yeshua when you need him? No, I'm just kidding. You're off at a meeting somewhere, but praise God. Meetings are good. So Sunday morning came, and now I had been led by the Lord to do certain songs. You know, that particular meeting. I pray about these things, and I take it very seriously. Jan can tell you, I'll send a whole song list, and then a little while later send a whole new one. Because I tried playing those and they had nothing on them. I said, they sounded good when I made that list, but when I played them, there was no oomph on them. There was no Holy Spirit anointing on them. So make a whole new list. But anyway, so I'd put some songs together. Some were some older songs, even unfamiliar songs. But I had a witness in my spirit that they were the right ones. And one of them was a song we hadn't sung probably 30 years. And that was the song, When I Look Into Your Holiness. I worship you, the reason I live is to worship you. We sang that, and we practiced it. We went over our songs, and like I say, some of the people never heard the songs before. We had to learn them like new songs. And so we went through that. But then when I got down, we were just getting ready for the meeting, and I found out that Mike and Stephanie Rogers were visiting from New Bern. How many remember Mike Rogers and the trips to heaven and all that stuff he preached? Man, powerful. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've got all these old songs lined up. What's Mike going to think about it? What difference does it make? Was it the Lord or not? So I'm kind of sweating it about that time. Oh, Lord, maybe I can do a new song this real quick. But no, I went ahead with what we had done and what we'd put together. And so we got into the worship time, and there was just a beautiful anointing on it, just tremendous. And we had an intense time of worship. I looked around at one point, and every person in the room, including the children, were caught up in worship. I said, okay, well, this must have been right. Praise God. I'm looking at everybody, oh, glory to God, you know. But, yeah, you know, really, and here's a thought I had this morning, and it's not a new thought. Many people have had this thought, I'm sure, that when we worship, we're hearing the sound of heaven. Amen. Praise God. I saw Amos over there this morning. He was doing this. I said, he's playing a guitar on the floor. And I said, man, he's into it. But praise God. But yeah, the sound of heaven. We're hearing the sound of heaven while we're here on earth. We're only hearing a smidgen of it. But we want more of it. See, this is what got me excited about what Yvonne was saying this morning. God wants us to experience more of it. To where it's just, you know, that's the thing that's in our life. The sound of heaven is going on. Praise God. Glory. So praise God. Where were we anyway? So when Jenny got up to pray, it was 2 weeks ago, she got up to pray for the people as we normally do in a meeting after the worship time. And she couldn't stop crying because of the intensity of the worship that we had had. And when Mike's wife, Stephanie, got up, the two of them got up and she began to share some things. She said, she mentioned that she had felt the same way during worship. Just was weeping, you know. And Jenny was, I can't hardly talk. I'm still crying. And people were giving testimonies. Yvonne said that she thought, a thought came to her while she was in worship. If I'm not living to worship him, then what am I living for? Whoa. Now, that's from the Lord right there. If I'm not living to worship God, what am I living for? That's something to think about right there. But that's what the Lord impressed her during that time of worship. Ted had a vision, saw people, 600 people worshiping in heaven. But see, we just join the worship that's already going on. That's what happens. We go through that portal, so to speak, and we hear the sound of heaven. And I know all of you at one time or another have been in such intense worship, you heard angels singing. Anybody ever heard angels singing when you're in worship? We don't have that many voices in here. Where are those voices coming from? Praise God. So, Mike began to preach, and he began to speak on the subject of brethren dwelling together in unity. How many brethren? Yeah, I know several people. Most of you were probably here a couple of weeks ago. Sweet harmony. Yeah. And he said it's like the anointing oil that was poured on Aaron's head that ran down on his beard and down to the skirt of his garment. And in his message, I'm kind of paraphrasing, I don't want to misquote, but it seemed like to me he shared how that we should love one another because of the anointing that has been poured on us. Now, whether he said that's what I got out of it. And at the end of the meeting, he anointed all of us with oil. We just got this little thing here. And he said, anybody want to be anointed? Come on up here. And he was anointing people with oil, you know. And it was a tremendous time. Robin was here. You remember that sweet time of fellowship we had afterwards. It was like there was just so much love in here that nobody wanted to leave. Everybody just sat there, you know. Where else are we going to go that's better than this? Praise God. Anyway. And so, you know, the Bible says that the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Ghost. But did you ever think about it? When does that happen? Praise God. It happens when we make that connection with Him in worship. That's when His love is poured out in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Now, how do we know that that's true? Because we know that when we worship Him and make the connection, then we suddenly have a love in us that didn't seem to be there before. Suddenly we're adoring the Lord. We're not just singing songs of praise. We're saying, God, Jesus, oh, man, you're wonderful. You're amazing. You're great. You know, because it becomes a heart thing. because the love of God has been poured out in us. You know, one of the things the Lord showed me is that the love of God is poured out in our hearts so that we can love one another. And that has to be true, too, because how is it that somebody as unloving, as unkind as human beings love somebody besides themselves? They've got to have some help. They've got to have some Holy Ghost love poured out in them. And with that love, we can love. So it's good to keep in the Spirit so you can have that love constantly poured out in you. Praise God. Okay, why am I saying all this anyway? I'm trying to point out how extremely important it is for us as believers to maintain the connection we have with the Lord that comes to us by singing and making melody in our hearts to Him. It's interesting. I heard somebody say a few years ago that the lady who wrote the song, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear." She wrote that, according to this person who was speaking, while she was washing dishes. Praise God. She wrote it not in a song service, not in a worship time, but while she was washing dishes. She was worshiping the Lord in her heart while she was doing dishes. The mundane things of life. What about driving down the road? What if you start a song when you get down the road? "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." Now, try not to take your eyes off the road while you're doing that, but this, I wouldn't recommend this for Yvonne. She'd be dancing. And well, you can't do that while you're driving. Praise God. She's very given to the presence of the Lord. Is that right? Somebody was so filled with the Spirit, the angel of the Lord drove her car home. Amen. Amen. Crazy stuff can happen. But anyway, this woman was washing dishes. How many dishes do you wash in a week? A lot. But standing there, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." I'm still washing dishes. See, we need to do this during the mundane times of our life. You know, Toni Bogard, who was a lady who used to go to this church many years ago, she was a piano player, guitar player, singer, tremendous, tremendous talent. Right now she's working with Sid Roth, down to his program as a director of some kind. But anyway, she used to go here to church many years ago, and she used to sing a song, and I think it's one she wrote. I'm pretty sure she wrote the song, and it said, "Let his temple be filled with his glory, and his courts be filled with his praise. Let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Zion rejoices again. Zion rejoices again. Let the temple be filled with his glory." Anyway, beautiful song. But where is the Holy of Holies? Hallelujah. Let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. It's right down in here. That's where the Holy of... Our body is the outer court. Our mind and our soul is the holy place of Moses' tabernacle, symbolic of that. But the Holy of Holies is our heart, our spirit. That's where the Lord lives. That's where God's presence dwells, like they had the ark in the Holy of Holies. Praise God. And as we do that, we'll be filled with His Spirit. And His Spirit will pour out the love of God in our hearts. And I'm going to close here. I know we said a lot of things, and we've said a lot of things. But I want to close here with the verses we started out with. And then I want to do a little demonstration of this while we're still, or close with a song or two. We used to close every meeting with a song. Never heard anybody that I know of, but praise God. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 6:19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God, glorify Him in your body and in your spirit." That's talking about your heart. Glorify God in your spirit. And I lost the place. That's our heart. which are God's. Your body and your spirit are God's. Glorify God in your heart. Why? Because you're the temple. Your body, your heart is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. And so, like I say, I just want to do a little demonstration of what I'm talking about, because it was a revelation to me. And